Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this very colorful day. I love seeing all the different costumes for Trunk or Treat. It's so wonderful. Today we're going to be reflecting upon the gift that God gives us in community. In fact, we have a whole four-week series on that. We just wrapped up a series on God's design for the family for the last 4 weeks, and now we're looking on to the family of God and how we support and care for each other. So we'll be hearing about that later. But I invite you to stand as we begin our service, remembering who we belong to, have been claimed in the waters of holy baptism in the beginning. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Oh Lord, I thank you that you call us to be your own. I pray you help us to set aside any fears or worries, any anxieties, anything that would draw us away from you, and just help us to be present in this moment, to sit at your feet and to learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a culminating servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I'm so glad to testify about the one who saved my life. The power of the blood is the reason I'm alive. I thank God day and night. I'm not where I used to be. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I was a sinner, Jesus lifted me. I was a sinner, so blind I could not see. Before he ever crossed my mind, he took the cross for me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad to testify about the one who saved my life. The power of the blood is the reason I'm alive. I thank God day and night. I'm not where I used to be. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. I was in trouble, sinking down so deep. Before I ever called his name, he was calling out to me. Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad to testify about the one who saved my life. The power of the blood is the reason I'm alive. I thank God day and night. I'm not where I used to be. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. How could I not? forgiven. Jesus lifted me, I am forgiven. All my sins washed clean because you gave your life for me. I will give you everything. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. Glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.
Face down on the floor, all
to echo holy is the Lord. My God can help us sing with all of heaven roar. Forever echo holy is the Lord. A million angels fall face down on the floor. All to echo holy.
First scripture reading is from James 5, verse 13 through 16. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Our sermon reading today is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 26. Just as the body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be.
If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to weaker are special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
All right. Well, at this time, we're going to get to hear children singing My Lighthouse. So if you're a child and you want to come join for singing My Lighthouse, we're going to do the children's message after that. But you are welcome to come on up here for singing My Lighthouse.
Boys and girls, we're going to stay here. You can have a seat for the children's message right down here. We're all going to sit down. We're all going to sit down here on the carpet so that you can see my eyes and I can see yours. Come have a seat down here. There we go. Oh, there's lots of room over here too. Have a seat on the carpet. We got a little cow we got to get down here. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so happy you're here today. It's so great to see everybody.
I was wondering, if you could raise your hand, can you, somebody read my t-shirt? Raise your hand if you can read what it says. Ava. World's best tour guide. Now, I do not know if I am the best tour guide, but you are all welcome to come get a tour during Trunk or Treat and give me your feedback. All right. Today, we're going to talk about a tour guide. What does a tour guide do? Chelsea? Shows you around. Yeah. A tour guide, it helps people find their way. It also points out what others might miss sometimes and shows you a little bit about what's important, right? Imagine somebody wanted to find Jesus. How would they do that? Would they do that with a map? No. GPS on their phone? No, they would have to have somebody lead them, right? They have to have somebody lead them. So we can be like tour guides for Jesus. We can, do we have his word to use? The Bible, right, can lead us to Jesus. We come to church all together, and we can be together as a church and worship and show Jesus. Through baptism, we come to Jesus, right? Now, I have something exciting. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples." Did you know Jesus gave you a job? He said he wants you to be a tour guide. He wants you to go out and tell others about him. He does. Now, how are we going to do that? Any thoughts? Georgia? That's okay. So what we can do is we can show others about Jesus in our actions by showing love, right? And by showing our faith every day. So, through baptism, we become God's child, right? He calls us by name. And guess what? He gives us everything we need to do our job to be a tour guide when we're baptized. Isn't that wonderful news? So we don't have to worry about that. Can we show love every day here at St. Mark's? Yes. We can. One of the things, our theme verse this year is Psalm 98:4. It is, make a joyful noise. Oh, I love it. Thank you for saying it with me. So every day at St. Mark's, we get to pray in our classrooms. We get to talk to Jesus and read scriptures to each other. We get to be joyful every single day. And when we all come to church with our whole family, we get to show love and have joy too, right? Isn't that wonderful? 7 days a week, we get to share Jesus. What are some ways today that you could show the love of Jesus to others? What is a way you could be a tour guide today? You got this one? All right. By loving other people, right? We could, if our parents tell us to slow down at Trunk or Treat, could we slow down? Yeah, that's showing the love of Jesus. What else? Ava. Show someone around Trunk or Treat if they've never been. That is a great way to show Jesus' love. Don't run at Trunk or Treat. Yes, I love that. Thank you. Don't run at Trunk. That's a great. And do we have another idea? If they're being very loud, you can maybe just say, "Can you have an inside voice, please?" Right? Okay. You guys have come up with some great ideas. One more. Yes, do not take other people's candy. Jesus, that's exactly right. Jesus does not. We have plenty of candy. You guys have some great ways. I even have a list here. I don't even need to use my list. You came up with so many great ideas. But do you know what the best part is? We are not alone. When we are going to be a tour guide for Jesus, Jesus promises to be with us always, even to the end of the age. He will be with you and help you to lead others to Jesus. Do you think you can do that today and for the rest of the week? All right. Could you fold your hands and repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for calling us to be your tour guides. Help us lead others to you. Please bless our school, our teachers, and our church families. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lies are a tangled web of a thing. Lies are like building a bridge with rotten wood. Lies are like, well, if you're trying to trap someone else with your lie, you actually build two traps for yourself. The first trap is, well, what happens if you get caught in the lie? The loss of face, the shame, that which you experience. And the other trap that you set for yourself if you lie against someone else is if you don't get caught in it, because of the harm that you do to yourself and to your character. The reason why I wanted to start off by reflecting on lies is because I know the pain and the damage that could happen when you live your life by a lie. When I was in seventh grade, I don't remember exactly when it started, but I found myself being shaped by many lies. And they weren't lies that I told to other people, but rather they were lies in here. The first lie was, as I was spending time with my peers throughout the school day or at the lunch table, I had the perception that there always seems like they're spending time with each other on weekends, always hanging out, and I felt like I was never invited to these things. And in truth, this probably wasn't the case, but the lie that I heard in my head was that everyone else is hanging out without you, and they don't want you there. The biggest lie being they don't need you. So I found it challenging to be at school, long for when I could get back home. Now at home, I really enjoyed connecting with my family by way of games. Again, if you know me, you know I love board games, card games, any kind of games, and this is a big way of how I like to connect with other people. And so I'd ask my sisters, hey, do you want to play a game? And they'd say, no, I have homework. And I'd say, well, then why are you watching TV? And they'd say, well, I'm just not interested in that right now. Now, I don't fault them entirely. I was a very competitive individual. And in truth, as a young teenage boy, if I reflect appropriately, I wasn't the best when I lost, and I also wasn't necessarily the best when I won. I was the individual who knew all the secret cheats in Mario Kart for how to win all the levels. So I don't entirely blame my sisters for not eagerly, every opportunity they could to play with me, do such. But the lie that I heard in my head was that my sisters don't love me, and as well that they don't need me. Now, being bombarded with these lies when I'm at school and when I'm at home, I found a lot of how I wanted to spend my time was with video games, an escape from what otherwise might have occupied my thoughts. And nothing against video games, but they tend to often be addictive as it is, and when you add in an escapism there, that is the only thing I wanted to spend my time doing apart from eating. And because of that, then I was often neglectful in the chores that I was supposed to do, or doing my homework, or things like that. And understandably, my parents would get a little bit frustrated with me. Josh, did you clean your room? Did you, litany goes on of things that I ought to have accomplished prior to sitting and playing video games. But the way that my brain interpreted these things was that my parents were always angry with me. Always frustrated, always disappointed in my choices. And the lie was that they don't need me. So when I was 13, at some point in there, I struggled with depression. And I started crying myself to sleep almost every night. And even though what would have been really helpful to me, honestly, is if my parents would have known and they could have reassured me about how they actually felt. But instead, I tried to stifle my cries, and if I ever cried out too loud, then I immediately stopped. Because for some reason, another lie was that I would be so embarrassed about the truth of the situation coming out that it was better to conceal the truth than to have it be revealed and discussed and truth brought to light. And so I often cried myself to sleep throughout the rest of seventh grade. And the summer was a bit of a respite, mostly because I didn't have to interact with my peers, so I didn't have that particular lie telling me that they don't want me there. And as well, I didn't have as much chores and homework to have to do, so most days I could do exactly what I wanted to, playing video games all day. But then eighth grade started, and I had a little bit of a hope, maybe, just maybe, things would be different this year. New year, fresh start. But I hadn't changed. So it hadn't changed. And I came back to eighth grade with the same struggles, the same going to sleep every night, reflecting on the day, hearing lies, no one needs you. And I cried myself to sleep. And on to ninth grade. Switching to high school, maybe new school. There's a whole bunch of different people I've never met before. Maybe I'll connect with some of them in a new and fresh way. Maybe things will be different. But I hadn't changed. So the same lies found their home in my mind, the same tangled web. I remember sometimes crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then feeling bitter anguish because Jesus prayed that prayer and he was God and he went through way worse than I'm going through. What right do I have to cry out to God in that fashion? Even though it was a reflection of how I truly felt in that moment. There were many times as I reflected and thought, no one here needs me, that I thought the best thing to do would be just to end it all. Ironically, the love that my parents had for me that I didn't believe was actually there is perhaps the biggest reason why it didn't play out that way. Because I believed that if I ended things, the sadness that my parents would feel. And I didn't want to hurt them that way. I never computed that to the fact that they'd feel sad because they loved me. I remember thinking my freshman year about how maybe I just don't need friends. Maybe that's, I don't need this. That lasted for less than a day because I went to school. And again, every opportunity I saw where I felt like, oh, I wish I connected with that person. Oh, I wish I connected with that person. Look at how those people connect. Oh, it just tore at me. And I realized very quickly, this is not the case. No, I need connection with people because this is how God has made us. And so shortly after that, then, I remember thinking to myself, God, you promised me that you would give me everything that I need to support this body and life, and I need friends. And this quiet whisper said, you do have them. And at that moment I realized, I thought to myself, maybe I do have them. The problem is just I'm not recognizing it. The problem is the lies that have made their way, lodged in, and have so solidified my thinking. But maybe I do have friends. So I did a test. Again, so built up in this perspective of what I thought was real, I went to school the next day and I said, the first class that I go to, whoever I sit next to, I'm going to say, hi, how are you? I genuinely expected the response to be something like, psh, what are you talking to me for? Because that is how I thought people thought of me. And yet, when I sat down in class and I looked at the person next to me, I said, hi, how are you doing? And they said, oh, I'm good, how are you? And I went, oh, I'm good. That was unexpected. Let me try the other side. Hey, how's it going? Oh, I'm good, how are you doing? Cool. Okay, this is weird. And on to my second class and third class and fourth class. There's block schedule, so only four classes in a day. But every time, every single class, the person sitting next to me was kind, was respectful, didn't think that I was so beneath them that how dare I talk to them. And that changed everything. Really what changed was me recognizing and believing the truth of God and that he was providing for my life, that he does care about me, rather than the false reality, the narrative, the lies that said no one needs you. Now, the reason why I'm telling all of you this story is all because of our reading from Corinthians. Again, we're starting a new series on life in community. And it's all about what it is to be a part of the body of Christ, a community of believers, and how it is that we care for each other and support each other, and what roles we have within the body of Christ. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and the church in Corinth had so many different divisions amongst it. And there were people who were saying, this is why I'm more important, this is why you're less important. And so Paul says, this is a problem. The reality is that you are missing how it is that the God of the universe, how your Lord and Savior Jesus, who died for you, has brought you together and what that means. And he says, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Or if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would make it not any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Likewise, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. And as I was reflecting upon this text and my message for you today, what struck me was that I think, to be honest, we have less of an issue, not that it's not an issue, but less of an issue of someone looking out and saying, I don't need you, or I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't need you. But rather, I think many of us struggle with saying, looking on at the body of Christ and saying, you don't need me. And you hear a lie in your head that says, these people who are here with me, they don't need me. And we listen to the lies that say this insidious and infectious thing, and it's like a bridge built with rotten wood. And yet the truth of it is that God has brought all of us here together as the body of Christ, as the church. And why is this? Because if one member suffers, all suffer together. One member is honored, all rejoice together. In other words, none of us can look at each other and say, you don't need me. Because God has designed it that we need each other. And this is true both from a sense of that you are a part of this community. And so as you come as a part of this community with your own hurts, your own pains, your own sufferings, you are needed with all of that. And as well as you come with all of your gifts and your talents, you are needed with those things. But God has given us, each and every one of us, to support and care for each other. Here again, the other reading for today from the book of James. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. In other words, how God has designed it is that you would see yourself as a member of this body. And seeing yourself as a member of this body, you come with everything that you have. The wonderful things that you want to share and the not so wonderful things that you're tempted to hide away, to shy away, to say, nope, this is not a part of me. And you come with your everything and you say, I am a sinner and I need help. And the body of Christ comes together and says, we hear you and we love you. You are a brother or sister in Christ. How can we help? You cannot look and say, you do not need me. You cannot believe that lie. And this is a beautiful thing that God has done with the body of Christ. That all members, wherever they are at, however indispensable they might be, however functional, however it is that they have to offer to the body of Christ or whatever they lack, all of this is brought together for the fullness of which God is doing within this sinful and broken world. That it all might be proclaimed to a world that does not know their Creator, that does not know their Redeemer. That they might see how the body of Christ comes together for the support and care of one another and say, wow, there's something different there. What is going on? So my encouragement to you this week is to not believe the lies that say, I have no need to connect with the rest of the body of Christ. Do not believe the lies that say, you have no part to play here. But instead, pray to God and say, God, I don't know exactly what my part is, but please guide me. I don't know exactly how I will best connect with the people here, but please guide me. Help me to set aside my pride that says, let's shy away from these things that I don't want to reveal. But rather, let me be honest and true with my struggles, with my pains, with my cryings out. And having done that, then provide me support that I need with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray, God, help take away all the lies that are distracting me and pulling me away. Instead, help me only see your truth as you guide me. Pray these things. Be guided by these things. And ask yourself, ask God to guide you. God, what is my place here in this body of Christ? For you have gifted me. You have given me all that I have that I need to support this body in life. How can I take that which you have given me to be a part of this community? Amen. Continue professing our shared faith with the words of Luther's explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him and his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we pray the prayers of our people. Lord, I pray that you would help us in this community to get to know each other better, that we might support each other in their needs, that we would rejoice with those who are rejoicing, that we would give care and support to those who are suffering, that we'd know each other. Lord, as well, I pray for Matt Gamewell, that as he's healing from a corneal ulcer, and we pray that the cornea would not scar, just that he would be able to receive fullness of sight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with Zachary, the son of Pam Hafner. Pray that you would grant him wisdom, patience, perseverance, and self-control at this time. Lord, I pray you'd be with Ernie Lockwood, the father of Chris Lockwood, who has recently had a bowel obstruction. I pray just that the doctors would continue to give him care and that he would be healed. Lord, I pray that you would be just thanksgiving. I pray thanksgiving for the care and the tests that Mayo Clinic was able to give to Josh Liebman. I just pray that you would guide the doctors so that they can come up with solutions, having gotten now all this fresh data to work with, and that he would be healed. Lord, I pray that you would be with, just give us thanksgiving that Cindy Bosick's brain surgery went well. Let's pray you continue to be with her as she recovers from that. I pray for all those who are mourning the loss of Penny Brown, the mother of Valerie Mertz, and that you would give them comfort at this time. Lord, I thank you for our school and early childhood center ministries. I just pray you continue to guide the leadership, be with all the teachers and principals and directors, and also be with the children and help them to learn and to grow. Lord, I pray as well for our local leadership. I pray that you would be with Mayor Spencer and Mayor Flower. I pray that you would guide them and help them to be mindful of the needs of those who are under their care and work for the common good of all people. All these things we pray in your Son's holy and precious name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper. When he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Precious blood.
Thank you. you live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived.
Stand. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Shine the
Seated. I know so many of you are so eager and excited to get out to trunk or treat, but we do have a couple announcements, and the first one is actually a video that I'd like to share with you.
I really don't have much to say after that. I hope you are all able to see a little bit of what we do at our school. It looks like we have a lot of fun, but through all of that, we are learning. We are following Missouri state standards, and our students are learning every and growing every day. And the most important thing is we get to spread the love and the joy of Jesus each day. So real quick, if you think this is something that you would love to be part of, I would love to talk to you more. I have tours going today. I also would love to just, if you want to pop into my office, I can tell you a little bit about Missouri Scholars. It's a great program through the state of Missouri that offers scholarships to private schools. And there is a lot of funding going on with that right now. It is very attainable for almost all of us. So if you have questions about that, I would love to tell you more about that. So thank you so much, and have a great day, and have fun at Trunk or Treat.
All right, thank you, Principal Dinas. So two quick things quick. One, the Tuesday night Bible study led by Pastor Bill is moving from 7 to 6 p.m., so be aware of that if that's something you want to go to and enjoy. And then lastly, we do actually have like bounce houses and things. If you go out there, you won't see them because we don't want to end up on the news for the wrong reason of a wind coming and blowing it all over. So it's all in the gym. So we do have bounce houses there in the gym if you're excited about that. But otherwise, thank you all for joining us today. Have a blessed week. God's peace to you.